CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't. Boom! Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man and Ant-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom!
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man,
is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man,
fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. Yo, that was a frog in the throat. Hello, hello, what's up? It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man. It's from all the easering I've been doing in the studio. It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're all up in here at CliffCentral.com. And it's been another dope week of advertising. Your boy is back. There was a young tribute to the guy, to the young man. Oh, he's not quite young, he was just short. Mr. Chris Gunman Kuega. A huge rest in peace to the brother. Most of you might know him from Izo days, but I mean he's one of those guys, you know. He's like those guys like Pizzazz, you know. If you know Pizzazz, the guy who's in the Lash Bar ads, he's one of those guys that you feel like you've just always known, you know. He feels like he's just always been around. So it's gonna be weird to not have the antics of Gunman on TV. I know he was on Izo. And then he was also on Zone 14 at some point, where they also made him play football. Because, you know, you kind of think the guys at Bomb Productions kind of thought that, you know, every black guy who can also play football. But it was tough. So huge condolences to the family of Mr. Chris Kubega, who is a gunman. But yeah, we've got a dope show for you today. I need to remind you. So there are no people in the studio with me per se today, so it's a little lonely, but I'm gonna be chatting to some people on Skype. Mr. Mbuso Ndlovu and Mr. Tladi Tawana, all out in the Vietnam and all up in the Kenya. So that's what's up. That's what we're gonna be up to. That's just getting the horn for them out there. That's what's up. But hit me up. Like I said, there's no one in the studio with me, so come hang out with me. You know, if you have any questions for the guys, call me on 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. Or you can also hit me up on the WhatsApp. So the WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090. If you also want to check out some of the antics that we've been up to, that I've been up to, because I had the studio all to myself, I recorded one or two videos of me going at Izo Kepulintang. So check that out. Tell me what you think about it. Tell me if you think that, you know, maybe G-Man and the Ad Man should get into the music video world. You know, maybe that's where we're at. You know, maybe we are branching out. But huge shout out to my man, Mr. Motel, the DOP. I heard him complain about some people, some music video people. You guys making music videos out there and bothering advertising people and bothering filmmakers, watch out, because they will put your shit on blast, because you're coming with a small budget with big dreams. But that's cool. huge shout out to all the filmmakers out there making it happen. But yeah. It's been an exciting week. I saw this ad. It's for Woolies, right? So I think it's an ill. It's not. I think it's Nick Rabinovitz and Kagiso Lediga, right? And they're kind of living their lives with their kids. And I think it's kind of in that you know, we're gonna show you the Woolworths clothes by actually showing you people living their lives, right? So that's pretty cool. But it also begs the question for me, right? Have comedians become the best copywriters in South Africa? Because it feels like that's become our default place, right? So it kind of feels like have we gotten to that place where, you know, when we get to the presentation and we just say, yeah, and then what we could do, like, is just like get one of the comedians, maybe like Mpop Pops. Huge shout out to Mpop Pops. It was his birthday gig this past weekend. Huge shout out. But yeah, it's interesting. I feel like we've all kind of gone to the place where we think that the default place is let's get a comedian. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, comedians are they get the crowds they do because, you know, they're good at what they do. But I mean, you know, have we essentially just handed that over to the comedians to become a thing? I remember when I was in Chicago, shout out City, that's what's up. When I was in Chicago, I encountered a group of people called Second City. Right, so what they do is they are a comedy collective that the agencies go to in order to take their script. So like you and I will sit in a group and then we'll write radio spots or TV spots, and then they actually get these comedians to make their spots funny. Right now, I mean, with my training, and then this could just be, you know, from back in the day. But with my training, if you're a copywriter, you must write everything. You know what I mean? You must write the funny. You must write the, and maybe then is there an opportunity for us to kind of go, maybe comedians should be a resource that we all start getting into and using for our spots, or should we just hire them in house? Because I know somebody once told me that I think Tole Smo I think used to work at Metropolitan Republic. So if you're at Metropolitan Republic, give me a call, hit me up on Twitter, and tell me what it was like to work with a comedian in house. You know, do they only get scripts that are supposed to be funny? Do they also get to write the deep stuff, like the Ellen Gray stuff, or do you have them in house because you want somebody to write a funny script? I know at some point Bob Pops, right, the one I was talking about now, I think he might have been an Allan Davenport at some point. So is that a thing? Is that a thing that we kind of, you know, are pushing as a new way to do adverts? Or have adverts, or is has writing funny adverts become so tough that we literally just hand the briefs over to comedians and say, yeah, they'll just kind of like, they'll wing it. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's cool. But yeah, I'm excited to have seen that, because I think that the production value on the Woolly stuff was great. And the guys actually gave like really, really dope performances. So big ups to the guys, Kagiso Lediga and Nick Rabinovitz. But also, I think you copywriters must know that the comedians are coming for a job. And it's probably one of those things that the clients are also going to just start doing. They're just going to go, you know what? I'm just going to go straight to the comedians. They're going to write dope spots. And that's it. And we're going to be fine. So, watch yourselves. I'm getting some tweets. I see the guys are, you know, I laugh, guys, that you guys can tell that I'm by myself here. Space Cowboy and Dogozo, he says, is SA Advertising handing over responsibility to comedians? That's the question I want to know, the answer I want to get from you guys. So hit me up on Twitter, that's at Blaxem, it's at BLAXEM, on WhatsApp 079-748-2090. Yes, also, like I said, I also have that line, because you can hit me up on 0861-555-189. So I'm gonna jump straight into it, because I think that we've got one of these guys, one of these rogues I told you about, I think is on the line right now. I think I've got Mr. Mbuso Ndlovu on the line with me. Mbuso, what's up, brother? Yeah, boy. How are you there?
I'm good, boy.
Yeah, man. I'm good, man. Are you still in the NAM? Are you in Vietnam? What's going on, my man? Who goes to Vietnam?
I'm still in Vietnam, man. I'm still in Vietnam. Yeah. Operating around Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
But yeah, based in Vietnam, yeah.
That's so crazy, man. Listen to that shit. Listen to Mbuso, guys. Mbuso's all about operating in Southeast Asia. Listen to that shit. You never used to say that shit when you used to work in Metropolitan. I'm operating around Rivonia. None of that shit.
No more boarding club.
Yeah. But how's it been, man? What have you been up to? Tell us. Tell us what a dope young creative from South Africa goes and does in Vietnam. What are you up to?
So I've been working with Saatchi for the past year.
All right.
Yeah, so I joined them as a creative director, and so I've been handling the portfolio for the international brands mostly.
Boom! That's what's up. That's what's up. That's dope shit, man. But
yeah.
Now, yeah. So did you just like decide that I'm done with South African advertising? I'm packing up. I'm going to Vietnam because you know they need a Zulu there. You know what brought this on?
Yeah. So if you look at the current trends in advertising. You look at the East, predominantly like China, Japan markets. There's more. What I was urging for and what I was looking for coming this side was when you think technicality, when you think digital, you think the East, you know?
That's what's up.
I came here with that ambition to focus or find growth in that.
And I mean, do you think that, I mean, cause I think that we sit here and we go, those guys are leaps and bounds ahead of us. Are we lagging that far behind them? Or do you think that, you know, when you landed there, you kind of felt like, I can take these guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, they've got their own way of doing things. Yeah. But one way, I think that's what makes them so advanced, that they have their own interface. That they use to, it's not like they're using Facebook as a leading a medium or tool, they have their own kind of technologies that they use around, yeah.
But isn't it also one of those places where they've banned Facebook because they can't have you guys having all that freedom? So they give you guys your own version of Facebook, Vietnam book. Is that what's going on out there? But I mean, how is like the transition been for you? You know, like I guess that's what I'm trying to find out is, you know, when you upped and left South Africa, was it easy for you to just kind of blend in? Because I know that, and I'll tell you why I ask you that. There are a whole bunch of creatives that I know, like, are thinking of going overseas, and a whole bunch of creatives have gone overseas. How easy has the transition been from kind of leaving here and going to the East?
It wasn't initially easy, but the nice thing that is when I came here, I had my own thoughts about how the place would be on the environment or the workplace.
Yeah, and it's always monsoon season, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And it was actually a nice surprise. Yeah. I was met by a nice surprise, like in terms of the caliber of creators that you're dealing with on this side, how technically advanced they are, and how creative they are. It's like, if you look at like Vietnam specifically, it comes from a communist system,
yeah.
And it still runs off that. But you have this socialist or capitalist society that's still entrenched this communist way of doing things.
And that's where you come in. Yeah? Yeah. So you're capitalizing nicely.
Nah, man. But the nice thing about it is like, if you look at Vietnam currently, it's like the second growing, it's the second fastest growing GDPs around the world.
Oh, that's crazy shit.
There's so much happening here. There's so much, like, considering like a year ago when I came here,
it's
so much has changed, like the construction, the environment, the technology, everything.
That's insane.
It's growing at a very, very rapid pace. So.
That's bloody insane. But so tell me, I mean, is there a big contingent of South African expats out there, like from the creative space, that you kind of, you know, like, you know, when you're missing Bulls Club, you know what I mean? Like, are there people that you can kind of that are out there kind of on the same mission as you are on, having left SA?
So I actually met one ex-colleague here.
Just one.
Who's actually doing on the thing. Just one. Yeah. Just one.
Yeah, it's lonely out there, my man. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an interesting place as well because of the amount of expats that come here.
Yeah.
Seeing opportunity, identifying growth, and seeing the blank canvas that this place is actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope, man. That's dope. But how long have you been out there now? I mean, I make it seem like you left last week, and I know you didn't leave last week. I mean, it's been quite a bit. How long have you been out there?
It's actually a year today or tomorrow.
That's insane, man. That's bloody insane.
It's been a year.
Yeah, no. That's insane, man. So yeah, guys, hit me up. I'm still chatting to Mbuso on the line all the way out in Vietnam. You know, the place where I heard that you get
Nam.
Out in Nam, Nick.
It's the Nam.
Well, I heard that you can hire a machine gun and shoot at cars. I don't know what the fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's exactly why Mbuso left, because that's the kind of shit he wants to get into. But I'm also gonna be hooking up with Mr. Kari Tawana, who's out in Kenya, and because I find it fascinating, you know. So when you leave South Africa to go overseas and out there, like, how much adjusting you kind of have to do, you know what I mean? And then also like not dealing with like some of the shit that we deal with on this side, you know. So like, you know, we can always say, yeah, the white people don't understand us, you know. But no, you can't use that as a thing on that side. So how do you bridge the cultural gaps on that side?
Yeah, it's an interesting question that.
Because it's easy for us, yeah. We just say my white creative director doesn't want to approve.
Exactly, yeah. It's natural for a person to feel that way when you arrive in a foreign country.
Yeah.
And this thing is at first everything is so strange and how the culture is so different.
Yeah.
And how people the way they carry themselves and. How do you address a situation? How do you review work? How do you talk to a creative? It's quite dynamic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've taken that perspective of like, I'm a visitor in this country.
That's right.
And I'm learning and I'm observing their way of doing things.
Yeah.
And the way I come forward is like, based on my expertise, this is how I can channel this and how I can improve it and how.
That's crazy
applying,
shit, man.
What I've learned over the years, yeah.
That's crazy shit. So, I just got a tweet from Pela Mamabulo. Shout out, Pela. What's going on, bro? Yeah, and he says that, damn, Buso, it's Wednesday. Yeah, he says, damn, Buso, it's Wednesday. Give us simple English. Swanking Vietnam things. Because you sound different now, Buso. You know what I mean? Like, and I guess that's also what I was getting at. Is the fact that, you know, out here when you get frustrated, you could just say, how fucking you guys don't understand me. You know? And has the language barrier been a thing? And has it helped the fact that you're an art director and not necessarily, and not a copywriter, the fact that, you know, you can kind of communicate in other ways? Because, you know, no one speaks, well, do they speak English out there?
Oh yeah, they do. They do. So they historically, there was America tried to get into this country, and then the French tried also.
Yeah.
So there's a huge influence of the America and French.
Yeah.
So a lot of people speak English.
Yeah. Oh, from the days of Rambo.
From Rambo. Yeah. Rambo 5.
What a fool. but so tell me this, Mbuso. What parts of SA advertising, if any, what parts of SA advertising do you miss? You know, like, are there things about SA advertising that make you go, shit, maybe I could just go back. Maybe it's time since it's been a year.
what do I miss about SA? I suppose it's what I miss is, like, I've seen the growth and the evolution of South African creative culture.
That's right.
And I think we've come a long way, and we're so advanced, and we take it for granted.
Yeah.
And to be in an environment here where they're striding, they're trying to find their pace.
Yeah.
To getting where we are.
Yeah. I hear.
It almost feels like I'm moving backwards, but. And somehow it gives me an advantage because I was there when South Africa was striding for that as well.
Yeah.
So it's almost like having a second chance to doing it again.
That is so dope.
Which is quite interesting. Yeah.
That is so dope. I dig that a lot. But I mean, and tell me, like, I've always been interested in, like, you know, like, we always try to talk about, you know, the region, you know. So like you spoke about, you know, Southeast Asia. How much do you think that the influence of kind of the countries around Vietnam has had on their creative community, and how like I'm always advocating for how you know we can garner things and we can kind of trade in creative currency with people like the guys in Botswana and the guys around us. How influential has that been for the game in Vietnam?
I think that they've got their own kind of creative community. As I mentioned, Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
That's predominantly Vietnam, is China, is Myanmar, is Laos. It's Thailand.
Yeah.
They have their own kind of regional awards that celebrates excellent work, you know?
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
So that they have that kind of a community, but they also look, of course, in the big award ceremonies around the world.
Yeah.
From your country, New York Creative Week, to your GNADs.
That's right.
And with ambition to and aspiration to do that kind of work, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would definitely think the support is definitely there amongst the neighboring countries.
Yeah, oh, that's dope. That's real cool. So I just got a tweet out here from Mabutu Teke. What's up, that a man? What's cutting? Another avid listener of the show, and he says, so if the creatives are technically advanced, does this mean that Vietnam is the next go-to place so we can bring the skills back home? So like, are you saying that? I guess what he's asking is, should South African advertising people or aspiring creatives out here be coming out there? Because like you said, you know, you're going, they're going through like this growth phase. Should the guys be coming out there to learn the technical stuff and bring it back to, well, obviously an advanced game?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think a lot of people actually, even outside of advertising, just in the whole creative space, they actually come here with ambitions to find growth in this kind of environment, of course, to go back home and excel and whatever skill set that they've acquired.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's really, really cool. So I want to take a step back here because, well, you know, I've just been rambling here talking about, you know, Muson Dlovu, the Vietnamese guy. But I always like, you know, try to get, you know, like some kid who's listening out there from where you're from, right? To kind of get the sense that this shit is possible, you know? So where did it all start for you? You know what I mean? While we wait to get Kadi on the line, let you and me shoot the breeze a little bit. Where did like, the ad game kind of you getting into advertising? When did that start for you?
Well, I'm a boy from a small town, from a farm boy from like Northern Natal.
Boom! Shout out Northern Natal.
Yeah. Northern Natal.
Yeah. Come on, Gungun Dlovu, sir.
Yeah. I'm Gungun Dlovu.
That's what's up.
I had ambitions of always coming, being in the creative space. Initially, I wanted to study fine artists. I wanted to be a fine artist.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, shit, there's a shitload of theoretical side of things.
Yeah, books, my
boy. Why am I studying about Van Gogh? Why am I studying about
Yeah.
I've always, like, when you look at history, I'm very close to arts. I'm very ambitious and I'm very precious about arts. And one thing I've always thought is, like, for you to find your craft in artistry, you need to practice your skill set.
That's
and for
up.
Me, as a craftsman, when you grow as a person, when you eventually find your identity, I think that's the end game.
Yeah.
Like a person will look at you at the canvas or illustration style or art direction style, and they will say, "That's a grand story."
That's what's up.
I think that's what I've always aspired to be. And then after fine arts, I thought, okay, there's this thing called graphic design. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure, graphic design was quite trendy.
Hold on, but I wanna jump in there, Muso, because you say something that I think is really, really important. Do you think that has kind of helped and honed the creative that you are? The fact that you see yourself as a craftsman. You know, like do you think that it's important that creative people see themselves as not just people who, like I always say, do things as squeeze packs, but also like see themselves as craftsmen who need to find a signature, need to find a way that people can look at their piece and say, that's a Muson Dlovu. Do you think that's important?
I think it's very important. Like, we spend a lot of time working, whether it's a campaign or a simple brief, crafting, doing revisions, fine tuning a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's part of the skill set. It's part of the journey. It's part of the process.
That's what's
and
up.
If you don't respect that process, and then essentially your work is gonna struggle.
That is fucking and dope.
Exactly. It's always good to. I believe we always need to find our identity in our work.
That is so dope, man. I really, really dig that. I feel like personally, I've always thought that, you know, like it's very easy for you to find frustration in what you do when you don't actually love the craft side of it. You know what I mean? Because when your frustration comes from the craft, then you're kind of going, damn it, I'm growing every day. Whereas like when you get stuck in a place, you just kind of go, this thing is shit. Maybe I'm not so good at this thing, but maybe you stop practicing. You know what I mean? But I really, really dig that. But yeah, so tell us. And then after that, you went to graphic design because, you know, everyone was going to either travel and tourism or graphic design.
I thought graphic design was a nice place where I would find comfort. And enjoying the crafting process, where I decided to go to AAA and study at AAA. You know,
out in Joburg or Cape Town?
In Joburg, I studied on Joburg campus, where it was visual communication that was the course. So you essentially involved in all the skill set of visual communication. And then that's when I found out about this thing called art direction that I never knew existed.
But you also just saw the word art as well, and you said, this is me.
That's right.
And
then, I hear about this thing called art direction. And what really excited me about art direction is, like, for me, as I said, like, I'm passionate about arts.
Yeah.
And I believe in... a multifaceted kind of creative.
Yeah.
As a creative, for you to move forward, and I would urge anyone that's trying to get into the industry,
yeah,
or trying to improve themselves in the industry,
yeah,
it's very important that we're not one dimensional.
That absolutely. So
as a visual person, you must find inspiration from photography. Yeah. It must be film, from illustration. It must be different things.
Yeah.
And I think those kind of influences kind of harness the kind of person that you grow to be.
That's the
so
sound.
It's quite imperative to have those kind of skill sets,
yeah,
around the creative, yeah, space. Yeah.
Yeah. All you young creatives out there, Mbuso will school you. Mbuso will masterclass the fuck out of you guys on this year interview. Yeah. So yeah. So carry on. I'm loving this though.
Yeah. So. And that's what I essentially enjoyed about Art Direction, is that I have love for photography, I've got love for film, I've got love for this, I've got love for that. And then I can get to play around and craft and work with like-minded people, yeah, whether it's a photographer shooting a print ad for, whether it's a film director, whether it's a producer,
yeah,
whether it's an illustrator, and kind of curating that process,
yeah,
that's kind of like what's really excited me the most. Yeah.
That's dope. That's really, really dope. And that's cool. So and then you kind of took that into your first job after that. So, but now tell me this, because what most people don't know as well is that, well, many people will know this, that you won the Young Creative Award kind of, you know, in the beginning, you know, when it wasn't even a thing yet, before Mlu was even in the advent, you know, you were winning this shit. So did you win that when you were still at college, or is this when you went to your first gig?
I actually received my first award, my first Luria, was in my second year of college.
Yeah, Luma! Luma! yeah, yeah.
I started, like, faced certain challenges in college.
Yeah.
And then I decided, you know what?
Challenges in Ibuso. Challenges in Kintango.
No, no, no. It's
yeah.
No, it's just like I found like a lot of institutions.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to advertising, it feels like they're always looking for a black kid with a story.
There it is.
You know?
Yeah.
I had big issue with my lecture. I really, really had big issues with my lecture.
Yeah.
A few of my lectures at AAA. When I said, you know what? Actually, I'm going to take this thing. I believe in it. I'm going to move forward.
Yeah.
I put my portfolio together. I went to agencies knocking.
Oh, that's dope.
And I got my creative break with Liesl Murray, Job Public.
Oh, that's dope.
Moved to the Joburg office.
Shout out Liesl Murray.
That's when I started my journey, and that's when I met like a very good creative I worked with for some time. Sebastian Schneider, shout out to that nigga.
You shout out Sebastian Schneider, what's up?
That was my kind of journey, and
yeah,
I found myself pairing up with a person that I really, really work well with.
Yeah.
We really did well in our journey as a team. We started collecting a few awards locally and internationally.
Yeah.
And essentially, I heard about this thing called Young Creatives.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what do I need to enter? They're like, okay, you have to be under the age of 27.
Yeah.
And you gotta put all the work together that you've been doing since you've been in the industry, and yeah, you enter the thing, and I gave it a shot, and it definitely opened up a lot of doors for me. That winning that award, because part of the prize that you get is you can choose any international award ceremony you want. And I chose New York Creative Week, actually.
Yeah.
I went out to New York for the one show, New York Creative Week, and I landed on the first day. On the first night of the award ceremony, it's like the work... that I did, I didn't even know it was a finalist. It goes up as like a shortlist. Next thing, it wins, and I go on stage and collect an award.
There we go.
And just being in that kind of environment where you're competing with the world's greatest.
Yeah.
Where you're rubbing shoulders with kind of people and you're having the kind of conversations, I find that quite inspirational.
Yeah, man.
To be able to talk to another person who's great in their country, another person who's doing amazing things.
Yeah.
I think that has essentially influenced me being in Vietnam because as a creative community, it's not just geographically inclined. It's a global citizenship, you know.
That's what's up. That's it.
Because all of our ideas from all over the world. And that's the important thing.
That's so cool, man. You know, for me, you touched on something that you know, I know that a lot of people don't like talking about, right? And that is the thing that Dead Press spoke about. They schools can't teach us shit. But not necessarily in that extreme, but like a lot of people have kind of the conversation about what kind of graduates we're getting out of the ad schools and whether people actually come out of there ready to take on briefs or people come out of there kind of molded into these types of creatives that are cookie cutters. You know what I mean? So the lecturers create these kind of cookie cutter kind of creatives that can only do certain things, but don't actually, you know, have their own view on how to do stuff. How big do you think that is, and how much do you think that still influences the type of creatives you get?
I think that the level of confidence you get from whatever institution that you go to, or if you can't afford, maybe you go straight to an ad agency and you start doing an internship. Yeah. I know a lot of people have done that. I found that a lot of like if you give a young person confidence in their work, belief that they can do it, and also allowing them flexibility to kind of molds the kind of ideas they want to do. That little freedom goes a long way.
That is so dope, man.
Rather than finding what I find with a lot of educational places, like a lot of institutions, when the graduates at the end of the year, we've all been there for portfolio nights to look at the graduates, and somehow the work. It becomes the same.
Absolutely.
I don't know it's because of the way that they are taught.
Yeah.
Or it's because they are influencing, or they're getting influence from each other.
Yeah.
But it's always good to have outside influence as a creative.
That is absolutely dope.
Yeah, to look at like what are other creatives doing outside?
Yeah.
Or what are filmmakers doing? What are illustrators doing? What a musician is doing. I think to draw that kind of inspiration, that essentially molds those kind of influences and put them together into the kind of creative you want to be.
Yeah. See, I think that's really, really dope. And I think that's hella, hella important. And I've always been an advocate for also, like, you know, people in the industry kind of going to these schools as opposed to these kids only kind of being exposed to, you know, their lecturers, so to speak. But I think that it's really, really important for us as well, you know, who are in the game, to constantly be in touch with these schools in order to kind of impart this knowledge on these kids, that when they come into the game, that they are kind of kept abreast with the different ways that this shit can be done, as opposed to just doing it the way my lecturer did it. So I'm all for that. So now, here's what I want to do, Musa. I want you to just hold for a second, because I'm gonna try and get Tadi on the line so that we can all just have an international tripartite conversation here. And to kind of hear
apartment tour,
apartment tour even. I mean, you know what I mean.
Come on, please.
Hey, behave yourself. All right, cool. So I'm gonna try and get Tadi on the line, and then we'll keep chatting. So what I'm gonna do is, so apparently we're still having some technical issues with Tadi. Apparently in Kenya there's stuff. It's tough there in Kenya. Mbuso, it's just still you and me for now. So here's another tweet from Mabutu Zeke saying a triple A Mbuso never conformed. Many people thought that he was gonna see Masipa. But look at him now, big ups. So you scared the kids, Papa. Oh fuck, I love hearing that. I love hearing that because I love hearing the fact that you know, you're on this whole, like, I freak the kids out. All the other kids are going, shit, how the fuck am I going to do it? This Mbuso guy is a problem. And then you end up at this place. You know what I mean? And how important do you think it is then that the kids kind of believe that I can go rogue and it's not going to break? You know what I mean? Like, have the confidence, because it doesn't necessarily mean that if I don't go the whole way, then that, you know what I mean? Like, how important do you think that confidence is?
Yeah, confidence is everything. Confidence is everything, because as a creative, like, the work that we do is represents us at the end of the day, you know, essentially. By you putting out that work, that becomes the representation of who you are and what you stand for. And if you don't have confidence within, you can never put that kind of work out. You can never put the work out, you know, yeah. That makes it different or that stand out.
That is so dope.
Yeah, confidence is everything.
That's so dope. All right, y'all. But guys, so I'm still hanging out with your boy, Mr. Mbuso Ndlovu out here on CliffCentral.com. It's your boy G-Man, the Ad Man, and I'll tell you, for me, it's been really, really interesting to kind of hear how somebody who, you know, was amongst us here has made the call. And it feels like Mbuso has always been those kind of people who makes the call that freaks people out, and going to Vietnam. And like going out there and going, damn it, can I go see what else is out there? And I feel like a lot of us are kind of, and that's why I keep talking about the confidence. A lot of us are taught kind of, you know, the only way to do this stuff. You know, so we're kind of taught one way. You must go in, do an internship at FCB, do an internship at Ogilvy. And then after that, you're going to go through this path and all aspire to be the creative director. And you don't get to that, and then you kind of crash out, right? So after that, you kind of go, no, I'm done. Maybe because, you know, you can't be a creative director. Maybe advertising is not for you, and then you go and you do funny things in the streets. So I think that we have Kadi on the line. Do we have Kadi on the line?
Jumbo.
Hey, Kadi.
Jumbo.
How are
Jumbo.
You? How are you? Do I still have Musa on the line?
Yeah,
me. Yeah. Hi guys, how are you? Like I said, we're having tripartite now. Thanks, Kadi, for joining us out of your meeting. What are you up to out there, my man? Who's keeping you in meetings when you're supposed to be doing interviews? What's up? What's Kadi doing out there?
I guess advertising gods has been good to us. I mean, we've been kind of really trying to build a superb kind of benchmark out of the continent. And I mean, it's been pretty busy, and people like what we're doing out here. It's been a kind of a 2 or 3 year project, kind of building up capacity. But yeah, we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
So when you,
hey, Mbuso, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing, bro?
all good.
Guys, this is so pretty. This feels like Hell's Kitchen all over again. But we don't get into that.
No doubt.
Book club. shout out to Book Club. Everybody out there who knows all about Book Club, shout out to you guys as well. Daddy, you're saying that we, and you keep saying that we're building this thing. For those people out there who don't know what it is that you're actually up to out there, what it is that you're building out there, and you say in with this 3 year project that you're talking about?
All right, fantastic. So about 3 years ago, Ogilvy Global decided that the rest of the continent needed a little bit of love.
Yeah.
And what they did was they brought in a new CEO, a lady called Nadia, who used to run Ogilvy New York.
Okay, cool.
They brought a Frenchman from Ogilvy Paris. They brought a Portuguese guy from Portugal, I guess. And then they brought me from South Africa. You know, it was a bit of a United Nations kind of going down. And I was the strategic lead, and I was tasked kind of building a planning culture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big organization in terms of, I mean, it covers 27 markets across Anglophone and Francophone, and as well as, I guess, East Africa. So that was kind of the project. It needed to kind of bring itself up to, I mean, you know, Grant, South Africa's advertising, or rather the communication world in South Africa, it's quite advanced.
Yeah.
It's kind of on par with global, has been for a very long time, etc.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the countries outside of South Africa, purely because they don't have any kind of advertising schools, different kinds of kind of client, the climates haven't been always been kind of good for sustainable agencies, etc.
Yeah.
And I think building an agency outside of South Africa from the ground up, in terms of capabilities, in terms of creativity, etc., has been an interesting project. And I think that we've shown, I guess, maybe even South Africa and the rest of the world, that actually we can kind of, you know, we can do pound for pound. I mean, we've currently gotten a few awards. We've had a recent big win with the Rhino on Tinder. I don't know if you may have heard of it or not, but
boom, that's dope shit, man.
So I mean, Yeah, so we've really started creating a lot more kind of underground talent. You know, I mean, in the past, and especially when I got here, a lot of the agency was for expatriates and what have you, kind of over-the-hill creatives. Unfortunately, I have to say it out loud, but over-the-hill creatives who kind of came in here. But having said that, I mean, we all know, I mean, Africa's so young, and you can't really to people like that. And I've always been a very true person around kind of culture and driving culture through our work.
Absolutely.
So we've actually turned it around where it used to be 80% expats, now it's 80% local talent.
That is so dope, young, man.
Designers, etc. Just really kind of from the bottom up. I mean, you walk around our offices. You see Ghanaians, you see Nigerians, you see Kenyans, Africans, you know. It's all young African talent kind of pushing it. And clients have appreciated that. And you know what? The work has actually benefited, you know.
That is
brands are starting to, you know, really, really enjoy this kind of, I walk into a boardroom, I just see Africa being represented rather than being kind of a thing. And that's really been the project, you know.
That is so dope, man. I really, really dig that. No, that's really, really dope. And you know, like, I mean, and I guess it's a question for both of you. You know, like, what is it that you think that you took, the thing that you took from SA Advertising that kind of made the transition when you got to that side easier? You know what I mean? I mean, both of you spoke about earlier, Tladi, when you were still in the meeting, Musa was talking about how, you know, he got to that side and it felt like, you know, he was getting, like, it's almost like he got his second chance for the game to come up again. What is that thing that you took from the game that you think has helped you make it, well, not easy, but has made it a thing, has made this journey as well easy, I guess.
From my side, it's just one thing. It's bravery. You know, we've always, I mean, me and Busa worked together quite a bit in Metropolitan Republic. We worked together on kind of private projects as well. And I think what a lot of kind of the power of South African creativity is really about kind of being brave, you know, and kind of just that kind of mindset and that approach, you know. And I took that with me. I think that coming into a different market, working in multiple markets, etc., you've got to be brave and you've got to be steadfast in terms of your outlook and kind of how you approach things.
Yeah.
Another thing I took is, I mean, think about the other day someone said to me, can you define South Africa as a nation? And I was kind of hard-pressed to do it. And he was like, well, it's a whole bunch of nice people kind of all chilling together.
Yeah.
And it's the diversity, you know, the diversity and being able to having grown up in a diverse environment, like I say, it was easy enough to kind of get into a country like Kenya. Sure, it's English-speaking.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. It's not really a huge culture shock.
Yeah.
But we start going up like into kind of North African countries or some parts of West Africa or some of the tougher markets like Central Africa where it's all French, etc.
Yeah.
It's just about the appreciation of, one is bravery, but appreciation of diversity. I think that's kind of what I took out.
That is really, really dope. I mean, you've also obviously been out of the country for a while. You know, I mean, we are still chilling nicely, but there's a lady called Helen Zilla. She's doing what she wants. Yeah. But generally, you are right. And for you, Muso, what do you think that is?
Like, what I took out from the industry, I suppose. Yeah, I think Claudia's spot on with the point. Like, we come from South Africa is quite a diversified country.
Yeah.
We have a lot of influences. We have like 11 official languages.
Yeah.
It's a culture. It's like culture meets culture.
Yeah.
Kind of environment, and I think that this equips us. I think gives us an advantage as South Africans because we are always eager to learn about other people's cultures. And by approaching another person's culture their way, you find yourself always exploring and learning new things.
Yeah, that's amazing. Nice. So I've got a WhatsApp message here from Tonelo, and you know, because earlier we were talking about the creative schools, and she says you're spot on about creative colleges producing cookie cutter mold creatives. You can walk into any agency and you'll be able to tell who's from Vega or AAA. It's just in their aura, Ranjay. I don't want to be a walking billboard for the school I went to. Can I just do me? And I mean that's such a big thing. And Kadi, did you ever find that when you were still around on this side that there was a problem for you as well, that you kind of like could tell like that these are the Vega kids, these are the AAA kids, and everyone kind of looks the same and works the same way?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I actually didn't have that journey through advertising school. I used to be a, I was in investment banking for a little while and kind of moved around. And and then I got into marketing advertising and I learned from the ground up. I literally came in, didn't know anything. I worked at TWA, worked under Marie Jameson. Yeah. And what I found was that, there was a bit of a kind of a cookie cutter. I mean, you kind of knew the AAA students, and then kind of when Vegas started coming onto the scene, there was a bit of a kind of a certain way of approaching things.
Yeah.
But I think that I've been lucky enough to work in creative departments where a lot of the creative leaders basically kind of say, well, when you walk in, I want you to forget everything you learned at school, and we start from scratch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that, and so I've been fortunate enough to kind of work in those kind of environments. However, having said that, I have met quite a few kind of creative people, creative departments that are a little bit kind of, if you may, molded in a certain way, which has been an appreciation for me kind of moving out here to Kenya and kind of working in Ghana and Nigeria and kind of other markets like Zambia and Tanzania and Ethiopia, is that these kids or these kind of young creatives, they literally doing this out of their own kind of passion. There's no advertising schools.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenya, for instance, they've taken art out of the schools, out of the school curriculum in high school.
Oh, really?
So you can already see that the creative economy isn't one that's particularly being seen as thing. It's probably a bit more traditional. Go be a lawyer, go be a doctor, go be an engineer. A little bit kind of how we were maybe, maybe 10, 15 years ago in terms of people saying, going into advertising, etc.
Yeah.
But I think it's refreshing not to have that bogged down, I went through AAA or I went through Vega, etc., and kind of coming in and being fresh. Look, ultimately, school is school, education is education.
Yeah.
I'm a strong believer in kind of getting the basics right, but you have to kind of quickly unlearn when you start start work. So I think it's starting to edge out a little bit. Also, advertising needs to start attracting people not from the ad world. You need to start attracting other creatives. Architects,
like other kind of designers,
etc. Attract that, and maybe you won't get some sort of a thing. Because I mean, my team up here, when I kind of do training and kind of when I work with some of the younger planners coming through, etc.
Yeah.
I go to them, study life, not advertising.
Boom, that is really so damn
study
dope,
life,
man.
Not advertising. So get out there and just kind of absorb it. So I've always appreciated people not coming from ad schools, but ultimately, you have to take it the way you need to take it.
And I mean, Buso, being the consummate ad school dropout, I mean, I guess you kind of you concur with that, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, that's insane, man.
It's important. It's important the approach they have towards the advertising is very important. And I suppose, like, I come and you also, I suppose, there's a lot of our generation.
Yeah.
Like, our parents didn't know
what the hell advertising was.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And shout out to, we always done,
oh, man, that's insane. But now tell me, right? Here's what I want to know from both of you, right? So, like, having gone out there and explored and doing what you're doing out there, is the plan to come back and kind of bring everything that you guys have learned out there and kind of plow it back into the industry, or is it the fact that we exist in this global village of advertising where somehow your learnings will make their way back here? You don't necessarily have to come back here. And I'll start with you, Muso. Is the intention that at some point you're gonna come back out here, or world domination is your thing?
I would definitely love to come back home and excel and applying all the skill sets and things I've learned from this side. But I find that advertising or creativity is all about the cross pollination of ideas.
Boom.
So it doesn't matter where you are in the world. But communication is cross-pollination. It's using different channels to express a certain message.
That's
so why don't we use that kind of analogy when it comes to the kind of work that we're doing?
Absolutely.
You know? I think that's important.
That is so damn dope. That is so damn dope. I agree with that entirely. And Tlali, you yourself, are you planning on coming back, or are you Kenyan now?
It's an interesting question because I think that, look, I am homesick most of the times. I think
I have kitchen. I have kitchen great. Anymore on that.
Oh, it is. Hey, I tell you. You know? Hey, but there's another life out here.
But, hey, careful. Hey. Oh.
That's a separate conversation.
Yeah.
I think that, what's interesting is, look, I think South Africans need to travel a little bit more. And I think, yes, you know, people have started kind of going, well, maybe I don't need to go to Europe. Maybe I need to come and spend some time in the rest of the continent and just understand and learn.
Yeah.
I'll come back home, but yeah. I won't be able to kind of rest.
I kind of
need to move around the continent. I think that it's so dynamic, it's so ever changing. And I mean, yes, you see the stuff out there like fashion and Afrofuturism, all that stuff, etc.
Yeah.
When you're on the ground, it's exploded like 100 times, you know. And
that's so true.
You know, I mean, brand.
Whoa, bloody, whatever.
Whatever it is, you know, people co-opt this culture and say, hey, Africa's cool, etc. Yeah,
can you hear me now? Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, fantastic. I'm saying that, you know, brands and companies and Beyonce, who knows what, they co-opt African culture a lot. But when you're actually down on the ground, it's real, man. It's so real. And I think that South Africa itself, coming back home is great. I just think that we need to kind of be not south of Africa and not an island from the rest of the continent, but be much more connected. And I think that's the biggest problem. You know, I get home, I'm in an Uber from the airport, and the guy's like, hey, where are you from? I'm like, no, I stay in Nairobi, whatever it is. And he's like, yo, man, how's Africa? I'm like,
brother.
And I think that for me, it's no longer like a South African coming back home. I think it's finding a bridge and kind of integrating. And I think there's a lot that we can learn out here.
Absolutely.
You know, kids out here are hungrier, they're more educated, it's ridiculous the kind of things that you see people doing here, because the guys are kind of moving, much more entrepreneurial, etc. You know, and I think that we need to find a way to kind of learn from each other, because I think South Africa has got a lot to give, but I think vice versa as well. Look, I am seeing a little bit more shift, more people, I mean, in my inbox, mostly every single day I'm getting a little note from someone saying, hey, listen, I want to kind of apply for a position that side. I'm interested in kind of, you know, seeing the rest of the world, etc.
Yeah.
And I think it's fantastic. You know, I mean, we've just now gotten a global MBA WPP intern who's chosen Kenya over Singapore, London, and New York as the place where he wants to do one of his one-year rotations. You know, so it shows you that people understanding that, you know what, there's something out here, you know, and I'm not speaking about Kenya specifically, but just the rest of the continent, you know? Yeah, so I will come back home. I think that it has to be on the cards. You know, you guys do need saving. You need saving for yourself. So the Messiah will be back. The Messiah will be back. I'd like to see a lot more integration, a lot more kind of cross-pollination of ideas, of connected kind of culture, etc. And,
Ciao, guys. Fuck, you know, the hour like flies by, man. And I feel like this is one of those shows that should go on for like 2 hours or so. But yeah, I'm almost out of time, guys. But fuck, it's been so dope chatting to both of you, and it's been inspiring as fuck. You know that you guys have gone out there and are flying the flag proudly, and you actually, it sounds like you're moving some furniture out there. You know what I mean? And I think that's really, really dope. So one last thing from both of you. What is the one thing that you could say to the advertising creative of South Africa right now, that you've learned in the time that you've been out there? Real quick, both of you guys are running your mouth, so I need this to be real quick, a minute each. Mbuso, let's start with you.
I think it's curiosity. We need to remain curious what other creators are doing around the world, because for creativity to survive, for creativity to still remain a currency, we need to build this global community where we all are engaging each other.
Yeah.
I think that's an imperative thing for creativity to move forward. And actually to bridge all the gaps, whether it will bridge the culture, will bridge all mediums. And also we're going to stop thinking geographically, because...
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, we're all humans, and humans have a certain way of approaching things, and we want to find a common goal working towards this creativity. I think... Yeah, that's the way we're going to conquer this thing.
Too damn dope. Too damn dope, Mbuso Ndlovu. I don't know what Mbuso's thinking out there, guys. I think that's something that they're giving Mbuso out there. He's just dropping knowledge. That's all he does right now, just dropping knowledge. I mean, he just reminded us that we are human. I mean, get out of here, man. and Tari, for you, what would that one thing be?
I think that we've got to appreciate the fact that we've got amazing talent. And everyone's got wonderful talent, God-given talent, etc. But we have to work hard at it. Boom. You know, it's an old saying that, you know, when talent doesn't work hard work beats talent.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And I think that, I'm not going to repeat kind of what Mbusa said, but I agree with him 100%.
Yeah.
I think that also, you know, to do epic shit, we've got to be a little bit more, kind of thinking a different way. Think mobile, think other channels. I mean, if you look at some of the really great creative work that's coming out at the moment, there's no channels.
Absolutely.
There's no channels. It's literally just solving problems. And I think that that's kind of the way we need to look at things.
Oh, man. Guys, that is just so damn dope. Guys, thank you so much, man. I know everybody out here who's listening is probably going, hey, those guys, man. It feels like they're doing some big shit out there. And I'm really proud to be able to say that I know those two guys. And I feel like you guys, like I said, are moving some furniture. So thank you, gentlemen, for hanging out with us. Mbusa, I don't know what time it is out there. I didn't bother to check, but I don't care. but thanks. But thanks for hanging out with us, guys, on G-Man the Ad Man, and hope and hit me up when you guys are out here, because I'm gonna hit you guys up when I'm in your part of town, so we can find their version of Book Club. Thank you so much, my gents.
Thank you, sir. Come on.
And that's it, guys. That's another show of an international version of the G-Man, the Ad Man show this week. Some really, really inspiring words from those cats. And I think most importantly, the realization that all of us kind of sitting right here can change the world from where we're sitting right now. And maybe it does take us getting on some planes to go out there and experience other ways of doing things and go change the world out there as well. But huge shout out to the cats, Mbusa Ndlovu and Tlalita Wana on doing big shit out there. So yeah, it's almost done. Get this podcast for the people who are not in the office, the people who are in meetings, the people who are driving to the client. Get the podcast and play it for them. I think it's important for the young creatives, and it's important for the established creatives to hear some of the things that the guys have been up to right now. Things like the business solutions are more the fact that we're about business solutions more than we are about just making ads. So play the ad in the studio, play the ad in the car on the way to seeing the client, and just play it over and over again. Play it in the weekend if you didn't get a chance to listen to it. But yeah, once again, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's another fantastic episode of G-Man the Ad Man. Take care of yourselves, take care of those briefs, and most importantly, take care of each other. And once again, like I say every week, before that, huge shout out to my production and Mr. Cesar Quintetta for making this shit happen. You know, cheese, you work hard, my man. You know, people see and they don't know how hard you work, my man. So in between making Air Jordans down the road in Bryanston, he's also doing this stuff. So huge shout out to Cheese. But yeah, once again, get out there, do dope stuff. And if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. G-Man the Ad Man, boom!
Shot fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the Ad Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.